And you are indeed listening to Yukon Sound Alternative. I am Fran Storch, and you are listening to Radio Naturopath here on WHUS 91.7 FM. This is a call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, and this is my co-host, Ron Meniza.
Good morning, Dr. Storch.
Woohoo. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call us at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, if you can't listen all the way through, we're on at whus.org. And you can also listen at FranStorchND on both Twitter and on Facebook. And so we've got some nice stuff for you this week. I wasn't planning to be here, but here I am.
Yes, you are.
I know. So it was very interesting. I was in Florida, which was lovely. I was traveling. I went down to see my mom. Hi, Mom. I'm on the radio.
Mom. Yeah. Does she listen?
No, I don't know.
No.
I don't know if she listens. It would be nice if she would.
Well, if I were your mom, I would listen.
I know. Yeah. And she doesn't even have to listen right now from 10 to 11 every Wednesday. She could be listening on WHUS.org or at FranStorchND on Facebook or Twitter or at WHUS.org.
Yeah.
Right? And also on iTunes.
And all those things,
She could subscribe on iTunes. How cool would that be? But I don't know. Maybe next time I'll go, I'll insist that she listen to my radio show. That would be good. All right. So I had a question. So we welcome your questions, of course, and we'd love for you to call at 860-486-9487, and we would love for you also to write to us at radionaturopath@gmail.com. But in the meantime, I'll answer this question, which I got from the field. So this is from Sherry from East Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry wanted to know, what are some good natural medicine ways to care for yourself after you've had surgery? So that's a great question. And surgeries can be just as simple as taking a benign growth off of your skin to as serious as having abdominal surgery, like maybe you've had appendicitis, or even if you're a woman, you've had a hysterectomy. So there can be a lot of things. The surgery can mean a lot of things. But anyway, one of the first things I'll say is pretty much whatever the doctor tells you to do, you mostly want to do that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, don't do the things that the doctor tells you to do, that only you should only use natural medicine methods. I'm not going to say that to you. That if the doctor has certain things that she or he is telling you in terms of aftercare, wound care, your incision, medicines to put on the incision, and things to take to ease your healing, you probably want to do that. Now, one of the things I hear is, do I want to take those pain meds? Well, that depends on you. Some people can get away without pain meds. And when I say pain meds, I'm mostly referring to opioids. And people get given opioids, and of course, there are problems with opioids. Once in a while, I'll hear somebody come in and say, I had somebody actually come to me once and say, post-surgically, that she was given some opioids after having a car accident. And she was given for pain, and she had to make her partner keep them away from her because she knew how good it made her feel and that she'd want to keep taking them, that she could feel it. And what was brilliant about her is that she had the presence of mind to realize that and realize that she did not want to become addicted. And that was really interesting. So I'm not one to say you should never, ever take opioids, because if you can manage to take opioids in the way that they're prescribed post-surgically for pain, they can be helpful. But you have to be very careful because you don't want to become addicted to them. So you only want to take them at the smallest dose you can take for the shortest amount of time possible. And you have to remember that opioids are not anti-inflammatories. They are analgesics. And what that means is they do not reduce inflammation. So when you get puffiness, redness, swelling, they don't do anything for that. All they do is take care of pain. They bond to your opioid receptors in your body, and they block your pain pathway so that you don't feel pain. And that's how they do it. So one of the things that happens if you wind up taking an opioid, and we hope that you don't ultimately become addicted to it, is you get constipated. So how do you deal with the constipation? You do everything you can. It can be very difficult because, unfortunately, opioids block receptor pathways. You need opioid receptors everywhere in your body because they do block pain, and we do make endorphins, endogenous opioids, in our bodies, and you have receptors for them everywhere in your body. And, you know, if you didn't have opioid receptors, you wouldn't be able to be in the world because it would hurt to walk. It would hurt every time you did anything. If you, you know, bumped yourself lightly against a wall, it would hurt. If you did exercise, it would hurt a lot. So anytime you would move, it would hurt. It would also hurt every time you go to the bathroom because you have opioid receptors in your bladder, in your kidneys, and your organs of excretion. You also have them in your colon. You have a lot of them in your colon because in order for your colon to contract and squeeze and push stool matter through, they have to really contract and squeeze. And if you couldn't handle that, if you didn't have adequate opiate protection in your body, it would be painful every time you had a bowel movement. So there are opioid receptors in the colon. So what happens if you take an opioid? Those opioid receptors in the colon can get blocked, and then your colon slows down. So that's what happens. And there are actually anti-opioid drugs that block certain opioid receptors or stimulate certain opioid receptors so that you can have a bowel movement while you're taking opioid therapy. But what we try to do is if you're on short-term opioid therapy for surgery, what we want you to do is do all of the nice things that help you be regular. And they may or may not work to an extent because opioids can be very powerful constipators. But you eat your fruits and vegetables. You eat soluble fiber like chia seeds and flax seeds and oat bran. And do eat fruit. This is a time when you might want to up the amount of fruit, because I think that fruit in general helps you to be more regular than vegetables. There are some more organic acids in fruit that help you to be regular. And the other thing is, if you are a coffee person and you like to drink coffee, you can use coffee. Coffee can help you with regularity. It helps to stimulate bile flow. And so if anytime you stimulate bile flow and flow through the liver, that's going to dump into the colon, and you're going to have more flow of bile, which is going to help you with your bowel movements better. So that's a time when, if you are a coffee drinker and coffee doesn't bother you too much in other ways, like if you're somebody who drinks coffee and you get a bad stomach from it, or you get a lot of headaches or migraines, or you get way too jittery, you may not want to do that. But if you can handle a bit, then that would be one thing that you can do. And of course, always drink. Drink lots of water. Water is one of the most important things you can ingest. It keeps you hydrated. It keeps you regular. It keeps you having good circulation. It makes it so your organs of excretion can function well. So that's one thing you want to look at. And so then let's look at wound care. So if you have surgery, you're going to have incisions. And the incisions may be on your abdomen. The incisions are going to be wherever you had your surgery, of course. So when you have an incision, of course, the doctor's going to give you instructions for wound care. And if they have instructions on changing dressings and using triple antibiotic, and they give you an antibiotic to take, it's a good idea to do that there, because they're giving you tried and true methods. And I think it's fine to do that. I do find, though, for scarring and wounds that, You can use the triple antibiotic, but you can also use vitamin E. Vitamin E is great for helping scars to heal faster. And I really love calendula cream. And you can get calendula cream at most health food stores. Calendula is a lovely plant, and it really does hasten wound healing. It helps with itching. It helps to speed healing. It helps with normal cellular development. So does vitamin A. So calendula, along with vitamin A, also comfrey topically, can help with wound healing. And the other thing I like, I like to have St. John's wort in a combination with calendula. In addition to helping with pain, St. John's wort, you think of St. John's wort, everybody thinks it's just a natural antidepressant. Well, what it actually is, it's a natural nervine. And so it helps nerves to function more evenly and healthfully, and it can reduce nerve pain. So if you apply St. John's wort directly to incisions, they can hurt less. St. John's wort also helps with wound healing. So it helps to smooth out those scars, smooths out the inflammation, and it's really soothing. So it's, you know, not for depression only. And it helps with nerves directly. I mean, if you have nerve pain, if you have sciatica, you can use St. John's wort oil on your sciatica. There's something that I learned to do when I was in school, and that was to use homeopathic arnica and hypericum. Arnica is a lovely plant that can be used to help reduce bruising and swelling. And it's been studied. There are even studies in, you know, medical journals about how arnica can reduce soreness and swelling. And when you want to use arnica is when you have a bruised situation. It can help to reduce actual bruising. And it can also help if you have a bruised sensation. And you can take that internally homeopathically, and it will help. And you can alternate that with homeopathic hypericum. Hypericum is the Latin name for St. John's wort. And St. John's wort, of course, is going to help with the pain. There are other homeopathics that may be helpful if need be. Staphysagria. Now, we think of that, of staphysagria, as a remedy for very sweet, shy people who have suppressed anger. But staphysagria happens to be a good acute remedy if you get a cut. And so if you have a cut, you certainly have a cut if you've had surgery. So homeopathic staphysagria can help that to heal faster. So that's good. There are some nutrients that can be important if you're trying to heal from surgery. You want to make sure you're eating adequate protein. I mean, you don't have to eat enormous steaks, but that you're getting a good dose of protein each day, whatever your favorite protein is. If you are not a vegetarian, getting some good grass-fed, organic, or non-GMO fed poultry, fish, or beef, or pork, or venison, or whatever it is you like to eat. All of those are going to help you rebuild tissue, rebuild organs, rebuild things that have been cut into, and have your body reorganize around the incision and the injury, because your body does see surgery as an injury. Zinc is also very good for this. So to eat foods high in zinc can be helpful. You can also take zinc supplements, but there are certain supplements that tend to be higher in zinc. I love pumpkin seeds. I left a mixture of pumpkin and sunflower seeds at my mom's house, and last night my mom made a salad. And she threw the pumpkin. She found it in the cabinet. I had just put it in the cabinet. And not 2 minutes later, she walked out with this. Hey, can I put these in the salad? I'm like, yeah, go for it. Those will be really good.
Oh, we should do that more. We have them in the refrigerator, don't we? Or are they in the cabinet?
Yeah, I keep them in the refrigerator. Because I tend to put them in my yogurt. And you're right. We don't use them in salad. We tend to prefer to use walnuts and almonds in our salad. But we can trade off.
I could do that.
That would be fine. Then we could keep more sunflower and pumpkin seeds in the house. I like sunflower and pumpkin seeds with sweeter salads. So if we have a salad with feta and cranberries, or like if there's any kind of fruit in the salad, goji berries or feta and cranberries or goat cheese, the sunflower seeds, they balance a sweet salad. Although I must say, you could do that with walnuts and almonds too. So, but pumpkin seeds are pretty high. They're relatively high in zinc. By the way, dark chocolate is reasonably high in zinc. So is garlic. So are sesame seeds. Watermelon seeds. You can eat them. Did you know you could eat watermelon seeds?
No. Well, I have eaten them occasionally by accident, but I didn't realize that there was actually some nutritional value involved.
Yes, because they have zinc inside them. Well, a lot of seeds do. Squash seeds as well, and chickpeas. And so when you're making a squash, and you know how you clean out the center of it, mm-hmm. You can take the seeds out and eat them. You can take the seeds out and toast them and then eat them. You do that sometimes, don't you, when we make squash?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you take the pulp out, and then you can take the seeds out of the pulp, and you can toast the seeds.
Yeah.
Put a little olive oil and sea salt, or you can do a little tamari and toast them, and then you get a nice source of zinc. It's great. And zinc is a great wound healer. In fact, if you're inadequate in zinc, you'll have trouble with wound healing. It's also great for immunity, so you're less likely to get sick. So that's a good thing. So there are supplements you can take to speed your healing. So after you have surgery, you can take proteolytic enzymes that'll help reduce the inflammation around the incisions. So proteolytic enzymes, you can take just protease. There's certain companies that make special protease enzymes, things that break down protein. And you can also get proteins made from fruit. There's bromelain, which is a protein, protease, breaks down proteins, and it's made from pineapple. The highest concentration of bromelain is in pineapple stems, that when you're getting supplements, most of the bromelain comes from the stem. But there is some bromelain in pineapple fruit. So if you want to choose a fruit to eat post-surgically, pineapple is a good way to go. I have had people tell me that if some people who have pain or inflammation and soreness, that they eat pineapple and they feel better.
So the pineapple stem is the thing that's down the middle of the pineapple, that hard thing?
No, I think the stem at the top.
At the very top. Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
That's where the most of the bromelain is.
How would one eat a pineapple stem? I'll have to look that up.
You wouldn't. You would get that when they make bromelain to sell in bottles.
Oh.
You can extract it from there.
Okay.
Yeah. But you can eat pineapple fruit. You won't get as much as you know, a concentrated extract. If you're post-surgical, you're probably looking at it. It's a good idea to actually take some bromelain pills. But if you're, and you can also get, there are also plant enzymes. There are proteolytic enzymes in papaya as well. Papain, that's another one. And so you can get combinations of those things. And then there's protease enzymes that are grown on cultures. There are bacteria and funguses that make protease enzymes. So when you're buying plant enzymes and it's just called plant enzymes, if it doesn't say bromelain or papain on it, it's probably grown from a culture, because there are bacterial cultures that make proteolytic enzymes. And the proteolytic enzymes are going to break down inflammatory proteins so you hurt less and you feel better, and it will help you speed your healing. And then antioxidants in general. So just your good old antioxidants, your beta carotene. When you take beta carotene, it's a good idea not to take it in isolation. When you take antioxidants in general, it's a good idea not to take them in isolation, because antioxidants quench free radicals. So free radicals are what happen when tissue breaks down and you have molecules that are losing electrons, and those molecules then become unstable. And when they're unstable, they don't want to be unstable. So they're going to go into your tissues and they're going to grab electrons from other tissues. And so the chain reaction gets set off. And inflammatory compounds cause free radical damage. So if you boost your free radical scavengers, you're going to have less of that damage, and you're going to, again, heal faster. So it's a good idea not to just have vitamin C on board. That's why vitamin C in nature doesn't usually come by itself. Vitamin C comes with bioflavonoids. So when you're eating an orange, for example, the orange rind and the pith, the white stuff that holds the orange together, that's full of bioflavonoids. And then there's very bioavailable vitamin C. By the way, my mom had no oranges. Wow.
No fresh oranges.
No.
Was it too late?
Yeah, it was too late. Still had Meyer lemons, though. The Meyer lemons were wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're still. So the Meyer lemons, I think I may even get Meyer lemon when I get back in June. But Meyer lemon tree seems to last longer. But the oranges were done.
Is it legal to put those in a box and ship them here?
Well, you can. There are citrus places that ship.
I know.
But like, can we ship from my mom's
house? Can we privately do that?
I don't know.
Where does the U.S. Postal Department come down on you for doing that?
I don't know even if I wanted to grab a few of my mom's Meyer lemons and put them in my luggage, if they
would be
taken.
See, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
I wouldn't do that because they'll stop you with that.
Right.
That's why I wonder if it's illegal to put them in a box.
But if you wanted an apple for a snack on the plane and you got an apple from the store and put it in your bag, I don't think they'd take that. Like if you had one apple.
I don't know. I don't know if they let you through. I don't know. That's a TSA question.
Right.
Because, you know, the apple might be, BOMB or something like that. I don't want to say that word on the radio because then someone might be listening to us.
I don't think that's why, though.
No, I know.
No, the issue is agricultural.
Saying.
It's because there's
I understand that.
There's microbial, I think it's a microbial contamination issue. It's not what you said.
Right. Right. But we're not going to say that aloud.
I mean, I brought fruit on the plane in the form of, I had this really nice trail mix that had pecans and dried apples and dried coconut, and it was good.
Mm.
And nobody fussed at that. I try to be very careful not to bring liquid things in my carry-on bag, because I've bought stuff like nice shower gel and not realizing put it in my carry-on bag and had it taken from me because it was over 4 ounces.
Oh, doesn't that just drive you nuts?
Drove me nuts, right. So anyway, antioxidants. So when you take your antioxidants, they're going to help to speed your healing, because as the tissue is healing, it will have resources to rebuild itself, and it won't be continually broken down by the inflammatory compounds. So your carotenoids are an example of, beta carotene is an example of something that shouldn't be taken in isolation, because when the beta carotene scavenges the free radicals, you want something to back it up to replenish it. So you don't do, So you don't do beta carotene by itself. You do it with mixed carotenoids. Likewise, vitamin C comes along with bioflavonoids, and the bioflavonoids will help regenerate the vitamin C, as will other antioxidants like vitamin E. Vitamin C and vitamin E are well paired together. Vitamin E is another one that you want to make sure that it is not synthetic. So if it says DL, alpha tocopherol, on it, you shouldn't really get it. If it just says D-alpha tocopherol, that's better, but there should be mixed tocopherols in there too. Even better if there are tocotrienols, which is another form relative of vitamin E.
So I have an update.
Yes.
And it is about the pineapple that we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
And the and how to extract the
bromelain. Uh-huh.
Okay. So what they say to do is that you peel your pineapple like you normally would.
Yes.
And you cut out the little pieces like you normally would.
Yes.
And then you take the stem and you cut that up too. You put it all in the juicer and juice it.
So again, when you say stem, you're not talking about the hard thing at the top that attaches to the tree. You're talking about the core, really.
They're talking about the stem. The actual hard part that attaches to the tree.
Okay.
Because that's where the highest concentrated bromelain is.
So they want you to juice the stem.
They want you to juice the stem in with the pineapple.
Very
and then,
good.
And then strain it afterwards so you get any of the extra pulpy stuff out.
Yes.
And then you have bromelain.
High bromelain pineapple juice.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, I wonder if that would be good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So there's a solution that I found on a website that says how to get bromelain from a pineapple. Funny things you find when you look things up.
I just had an idea. I have to write it down.
You better write it down because, you know, ideas are easily lost, especially in my world.
Okay.
Where they come and
I wrote
go.
It down. I'll talk to you about it in a bit. But
good.
Anyway.
Good.
But I had a light bulb. Anyway, so more antioxidants. Right. So we said your beta carotene and mixed carotenoids and your vitamin C with bioflavonoids, your E with mixed tocopherols and tocotrienols. And let me see. Those are the main ones that you want to take. And you might take higher doses than usual if you're healing from surgery. And as we said, for scar care, you can do topical vitamin E along with calendula cream and St. John's wort, and that can really help. And when you're recovering from surgery, like I said, it's a really good idea to follow doctor's orders in terms of rest. The more you rest, the quicker you're going to heal. We have a situation because we deal with a lot of athletes in our lives who have surgery and then they're impatient to get back to whatever their sport is. And you have to be careful with that because, you know, you could stay injured longer if you don't follow your doctor's orders. On the other hand, if you do and you get adequate rest, you're going to come back even better than you were in the first place.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Right. So, all right. So that's my take on post-surgical care. Sort of interesting topic there. All right. So I was just traveling. I was thinking, what am I going to talk? Because I wasn't planning to do the show today. And then I had to pray for it on the plane, basically. So I looked around and thought about what was going on for me for travel. And so my travel to me is health giving. Going to Florida, I find healthful because now I'm very, very fortunate that I have a mom that lives in Florida, so I can go visit her. So I have an easy way to get to Florida. I just have to get myself down there, and then I have a place to stay and have a nice area to hang around in. And I do recommend it. If you can get away, and for those of you who have a hard time, I have some suggestions for you too. But if this is a hard winter, and this has been a particularly difficult winter, I can't tell you how many people I've seen come in the last couple of weeks who are really unhappy. They're just weary of the winter. They're upset and unhappy. My patients who have seasonal affective disorder are in a really bad place right now. We're about to be hit with our fourth nor'easter, and people are just sick of it. They're just really tired of it. So, you know, you have to have ways to deal with it. And one of the things to do is if you can travel, if you can find a way to travel to a sunny place, in the middle of, you know, get away for spring break, it's a good idea to do that and find an inexpensive way to do it if you can. If you can't do that, see if there are some fun things you can do. One of the things you might want to do is literally have a beach party at your house, or a warm weather party in your house of your choice. If you're not a beach person, maybe you want to have a lake party or a mountain party. But you have a party where you, I'll go with the beach party theme. What you do is you find a way to make the inside of your house really warm, use bright lights, and use full spectrum light in your house so it almost looks like it's sunny. And you can put up posters of tropical places and then have tropical themed drinks and serve a lot of fruit and ices and, you know, warm weather drinks and play beach party music and just have a party that's a beach party so people get a taste of summer in northeastern Connecticut.
That's a great idea. Maybe you turn the heat up too at the same
time.
Of course, you turn
the heat up. If you have a wood stove, you use that. If you have a fireplace, you use that. And yeah, if you need to get extra space heaters, do that. And make it warm enough so that people have to wear tank tops and shorts or tank dresses in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And you could even, if you have a way to do it, have part of your house that has, you could get a kiddie pool. Have people go in the kiddie pool and have...
God. This sounds like a frat party.
It's... but why not? It would cheer people up so much.
I understand.
Yeah. I mean, people have parties in the wintertime anyway. I remember when I lived in Newfoundland. Newfoundland has a very long winter. And everybody thinks, oh, it must have been so cold up there. It's not that much colder up there. It's just that the season is long because it's only as far north as Seattle. That's how far north it is. But it's near the Labrador Current, and the Labrador Current is cold, and it's also near where the Gulf Stream and the Labrador Current come together. So you get very dramatic weather there, and everybody talks about you don't like the weather in Connecticut. Wait 5 minutes. They have no idea. They have no idea. At least if you have weather today, it's consistent through the day. In Newfoundland, if the sun came out, you go outside right then. If you want to be in the sun, you don't wait. You don't say, oh, it's a nice day today. Maybe in a couple hours we'll go out for a picnic. No, you go out then because in a few hours the clouds are going to roll in. That's how it is. But that's how it is on an island. I mean, that's how it was in Florida. Last night it rained very, very hard. All of a sudden there was a storm coming through and it started to get dark and then all of a sudden it started to rain and it poured like a monsoon. It was incredible. And I said to my mom, I'm going to watch the rain because it looks like, because I was paying attention to the weather. And I said, it looks like it's going to be over by 7. Maybe I'll go to the beach at 7. She laughed at me and she said, it's going to still be raining then. Well, guess what? It wasn't, because I could see that there was a narrow band of showers when I looked at the radar that was just moving right across the peninsula. And then it went. And that's just how it was. So, you know, that's part of it. If you live on a peninsula like that or an island with water very, very close to it, you can get dramatic weather like that. So anyway, that's one thing to do. Have some kind of a party. When I was in Newfoundland, what people would do is people who had money would go to Florida in March. You know, at some point they would go to Florida in March just because the season was so long. And it's not much shorter here. I mean, it's still chilly in May. For a lot of May, and it doesn't start to get sort of warm until June here. People would do that. The other thing is that people gather at people's houses, and everybody would go in the kitchen. Didn't matter if the kitchen was smaller than the living room, everybody would go in the kitchen.
That happens here, too.
Well, yeah. Well, right. It's a New England thing as well. Mm-hmm. Why do you go in the kitchen? Because it's where the hearth is.
Okay.
I mean, there may not literally be a hearth in the kitchen, but it's where the hearth is. And it's a small room, and people get warm, and there's food there. So,
I was going to say, but primarily there's food there.
Yeah, and people gather in the kitchen. People want to eat more this time of year, too.
And, you know, you get together in the kitchen, and it's close, and it's tight, and it's personal.
That's right.
It's like, you know, you got kind of a community feeling.
It's very homey.
Right?
Yes, and it's a place where you can share food. That's absolutely true. So even if you don't have the beach party theme, you should have some kind of a party theme. But I like the beach party idea because it gives you, especially getting the full spectrum lights in there. And getting those lights there, because people with seasonal affective disorder are going to feel a lot better if they have that going on. So one of the things I noticed when I was traveling is I noticed people sitting in airports having food. and they would get fast food in the airport. And I don't want to judge people for buying.
but we're going there.
for buying fast food with, you know, lots and lots of white bread and a little bit of egg and no vegetables. But I just want to say that you have options. My choice is that I carry stuff with me. I carry healthier bars, you know, that are not so many calories and have some nutrition in them. That some either grainy or nut and seed bars or trail mix. I carry those with me on the plane because I know when I'm going to get to my destination, I'm going to find interesting things to eat. And then when I go out to eat, I'm going to find interesting things to eat that are healthier too. And I try not to stuff myself, although it doesn't always happen. My goodness. Somebody handed me a soft serve when we were traveling, and I did have the soft serve. And my mother and I found that we went out to lunch 2 days in a row, and we had big lunches out. And when we got home, we weren't hungry for dinner, so we didn't have dinner. And that was a way to do it. And I find that my mother and I were both pretty good about moderating our eating, that if we've eaten a big meal, then we're not necessarily going to eat something later. We're going to have something very light later on. And I appreciated that my mother was okay with that. That's how she stays trim, that she doesn't overeat. And or if she goes and she overeats, she enjoys herself. I didn't see my mother depriving herself of anything. But if she's not hungry, she knows when to shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the feeling of eating when I'm stuffed. So I try not to.
Right.
But we went up, so I wanted to share something I discovered when we were away that's going to be one of my new favorite things. And I first heard of it, wait for it, on Andrew Zimmern. So Andrew Zimmern has this TV show on the Travel Channel, and he goes around looking at bizarre foods. So he was, I don't remember where he was, if he was in, he was on the West Coast. It was somewhere where they eat healthier food. And he presented as one of his bizarre foods the acai bowl. And I had never heard of the acai bowl before. I thought that was really interesting. And what it is, it's got an acai base. So acai is this tropical fruit that grows it's a tropical fruit that grows in the tropics.
That would be a good place for it.
Yeah. and I told my dear friend Rita, I was talking about acai with Rita, and Rita laughed. She said that it's so funny that acai is so popularized here as an expensive health food because it grows like crazy in Brazil, and everybody goes to the juice bar and gets acai drinks, and they're not expensive at all because it just grows there. It's like us getting strawberries or something in season. And so the reason people are so into acai is because it is really high in antioxidants. It's high in proanthocyanidins. So it's a great cardiovascular, and it's great for helping to regulate blood sugar because the proanthocyanidins is also really good for strengthening blood vessels. So the acai bowl is this neat entity. The base, as far as I can tell, so they make this base and it's like a thicker smoothie and you eat it with a spoon. So what they do, the acai bowl that I was blessed to have. So I went to Lake Placid, Florida, and I went to a cafe with my friend Lucy and her daughter Francie and my mom called the Good News Cafe. And they had these acai bowls there. And so the way it worked there was the base, as far as I could tell, was chunky banana and that they had blended to a thick smoothie consistency, which of course they'd mixed with acai and maybe some cocoa powder. I'm not sure because it looked like chocolate pudding, but it didn't taste exactly like chocolate pudding. It tasted, you know, like banana, like there was a lot of banana. There may have been cocoa powder and there's definitely acai in it. And that was the base. And there was chunky bits of banana in it as well that you could bite on. There was there might've been some walnuts in it. And then the way acai bowls, when somebody at a health food store will make you an acai bowl, they're going to put, you're going to have choices of other toppings. And so there'll be different kinds of fruit. Like this place, you could get strawberries or blackberries. They had goji berries. They had, you know, different nuts, walnuts, you know, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, coconut. You could, you know, shredded coconut. You could get cacao nibs, cocoa nibs. and and you could get chia seeds. So I was in my glory. So I got this bowl, and I had never had one before, and they had these wonderful sandwiches, and you could get half a sandwich and half a two thing, half a sandwich, half a soup, or half a salad. So I got half salad, half sandwich, and I had a veggie panini, which was wonderful, on gluten-free bread, and this acai bowl. And so my acai bowl had, goji berries, cacao nibs. No, that's not right. I got strawberries, cacao nibs, and chia seeds. And it was great. What a good treat. It felt really healthy. Like I said, the idea with an acai bowl is you want it to be a little thicker than a smoothie. So a lot of different things can go into it. Of course, there's going to be acai in it. But I don't know if anybody around here makes acai bowls. So that's something.
That sounds like something we should
think
explore about.
Yes, because it's my new favorite thing. And
okay.
So what happened was I had it in Lake Placid. So by the way, there's a Lake Placid, Florida. It is not Lake Placid, New York. It's Lake Placid, Florida. It's probably halfway between Sarasota, like in the middle of the state, between Sarasota and I'm not sure what's on the other side there. Maybe Delray or Boynton Beach or, you know, anyway, it's right in the middle. But down by where my mom is. So it took us an hour and a half to get there, and it was kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It was kind of cool. And it was a very pretty place, and they had this little cafe there.
So I guess I'm making this for dinner at some point. Huh?
Okay. And then after I heard of that acai bowl, I looked to see if they made them in Venice somewhere, and I found a cafe that did. So, we had already had lunch when I got there, because they gave us so much food at the cafe the day before. We had it for lunch the next day. I found this cafe that made the acai bowl. So what I did was I found fun, healthier options to eat. I didn't just go get fast food. I didn't get big steaks. I didn't get, you know, stuff with a lot of pasta or bread. I found this lovely healthy cafe that had these acai bowls. They had salads, they had sandwiches, they catered to gluten-free, and we found that. Now you may wind up at a restaurant that doesn't have a lot of veggie things, but maybe it does have a salad, and it depends on what you want to do. If you're going to let go of your goals in terms of eating your produce, that's a choice that you can make. But I'm going to suggest that it's possible to eat your veggies even when you're on tour. So you find the places that do specialize in things with a lot of veggies in them. If you go to the Italian restaurant, you don't only have to get the pizza. I mean, if you like pizza, that's one thing. But people tend to eat a lot of pizza. It tends to be very easy to eat a lot of pizza. But one suggestion would be to allow yourself to have one slice of pizza and then have antipasto. And that's something I would love for us to have for supper, antipasto, because I love antipasto. Why don't we do that?
Okay.
So antipasto. So that's something you can get while you're traveling. That's healthier. And I know, if you're traveling, you're not going to necessarily know if the cold cuts have nitrates in them or not. But for once in a while, you could do that, because the antipasto is going to be healthier than something that has a lot of bread. But if you want to eat an antipasto out, antipasto is another thing that can vary depending on who's making it. But my terrific homemade antipasto would include locally grown greens. It would have that. It would have a bunch of provolone cheese in it, or other Italian cheese, provolone or Asiago, or some chunky cheese or something that you could grate. But a really nice sharp provolone or an Asiago or Romano. Not grated in powder, but in chunks or shreds. And then I would go get nitrate-free cold cuts, and I would get some salami, maybe some Genoa salami. If I could find nitrate-free capicola or something like that, I might get that, or prosciutto. I might do that. And you can get, soppressata is a sausage that you can get in Connecticut and Rhode Island, and that's often nitrate-free because they preserve it with bunch of salt and spices, but you can get it nitrate free. I should say only naturally occurring nitrates, because it's going to have some nitrates because of the salt, because you put salt into meat there's nitrogen in it because there's protein in it. So you're going to get some nitrates, naturally occurring nitrates, but there's no added sodium nitrate. You can get that in local Supersada. And if you go to Westerly, they are huge on their Supersada. They call it soupy. Yeah, I remember every year Chris DiPaolo would talk about the wonderful soupy in Westerly and the different places that would make it. But that's something you can cut up and put in. And then my favorite veggies to make it a nice antipasto, I would have marinated artichokes, some kind of marinated hot pepper, whether you wanted to use banana peppers or pepperoncini. You could put capers in. I would do sun-dried tomatoes and artichoke hearts. And you could put other veggies in it if you want. If you want to do a little carrot, definitely want to put in some tomato. You could put in mozzarella cheese. That's another possibility. Mm-hmm. And then you do just oil, light oil and vinegar, maybe a little salt and pepper, maybe a little oregano, and you have a great antipasto. Yeah.
Sounds good. I'm
super
hungry.
Super yummy. I know, right? Mm. Yeah. So sometimes I have to go to a pizza place and everybody wants to have pizza, and I don't want to eat a lot of pizza because pizza just, it tastes good and it just weighs me down, even if it's gluten-free. But I really love antipasto because it's got so many different flavors going on. It's really exciting. So that's something you can get. If you go to the Italian restaurant and you don't want to go overboard on the pizza, maybe allow yourself to have a slice of pizza, but have antipasto too. Sometimes they make other really great salads at these restaurants. Like just, you might get another great Italian salad with some wonderful flavorings in it, a chicken salad with banana peppers or something like that. So that's another way to go.
And here's another option. You know, sometimes if you go to a pizza place, you don't have to buy a whole pizza. You can just buy a slice.
Yes, that's right.
And then you can have something else with it.
Right.
And then you still get the satisfaction of having the pizza piece. Right.
Well, that was my point, that you have just the slice of pizza and you have the antipasto with it.
So there you go.
Yeah. So seek out the healthier choices. Now, what if you're at a rest stop and you want to find, and you're really hungry and you have to get something? See if you can find... If you have to go to the vending machine, look for just the nuts. A lot of vending machines now will sell bags of nuts. And don't worry if it's in a bad kind of fat. Just get the nuts. The nuts are going to be more healthful for you than a bag of candy. They're going to keep your blood sugar stable until you can get something more substantial. Now you can sometimes find jerky. Jerky is getting more popular, and you can find jerky different places. And jerky's getting healthier. You can get jerky in health food stores, and you can get turkey jerky, which I really enjoy. I found it in health food stores, and we've got some in my desk at work. It's one of my go-to snacks. And that's a nice way to go because you can travel with it and it's protein. The other thing is, what if they just have hot dogs and you do need some protein? Again, you're traveling if you don't want to do this, but if you're really trying to watch your health and watch your refined carbohydrates and you don't mind doing it, consider having the hot dog without the bun, or maybe have two hot dogs with toppings, eat it with a fork and skip the bun. And because you skip the bun, you can have the protein instead. The protein is going to have a better glycemic effect on your body, and you could have a little pickle relish or little sauerkraut and mustard on it and just eat it with a fork and don't worry about the bun. Of course, you know, some will say, well, you got to have the bun to have the experience. But again, this is about making choices, right? So the other thing is, when you are on the road eating, your schedule gets changed, the way you eat gets changed, where you stay gets changed. There's all kinds of things that change, and all of these things can affect your immunity, and they can affect your resistance. So one of the things is to make sure you have probiotics on the road. If you're going to be somewhere that's going to have no health food for miles, then maybe you want to bring some probiotic with you that doesn't have to be refrigerated. And that does exist now. You can get them chewable and you can get them in capsules, but those brands do exist. And you can take extra probiotic, and that'll help keep you regular and keep your immunity good. If you are somewhere where you have a lot of selection. Because I was fortunate to be either in Venice or Sarasota or even there in Lake Placid. I had options. So I found at the local supermarket, I decided I wanted to up my probiotics. So I got some kefir, because I was able to buy kefir at the store. I got, so kefir is one of my favorite things. It's a fermented dairy beverage. It's got more probiotic in it than yogurt, and the probiotics that are in it persist. And I really feel like you and I should keep probiotic. We should have kefir in the fridge all the time. It's just something that's good, really good for both of us. And, you know, because I'm so impressed with the number of strains in the probiotics, the number of strains of probiotics in the kefir, it just keeps you, it keeps those probiotics persist in your body. I also ate yogurt. I did eat yogurt for breakfast, and that was good. Mm-hmm. So I would get yogurt. I found the best yogurt I could. I couldn't guarantee that it was GMO-free, that the cows were GMO-free. But, you know, for my trip, I got it anyway. Also, there are no end of probiotic drinks that you can get now. And they sell them in the supermarket. They're so popular now that a decent supermarket will have probiotic drinks. Yes.
So you're opening a discussion here.
Yes.
So, and the discussion is, so if you're eating healthy,
yeah,
all right, and you're not necessarily paying attention to whether or not something has, you know, chemicals or was raised properly and all, is it still better to eat healthy than it is to not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, right. That's what I think. If you're somewhere, well, what would you?
Because
mean, what's
that's
the alternative?
That's what you're kind of leaning to right now is that you know, you're on the road, you're somewhere where you can't guarantee that something is certified, whatever, but it's still better to eat healthy than it is to eat
junky.
Something
of
that's,
course.
Right. Okay.
All right. What are you gonna? I mean, the thing is, there's gonna be some nutrition. There is at least gonna be some fiber. If you're getting greens, they might not be organic, but they're gonna have more nutrition than a candy bar.
Right.
Or, you know, a deep fried potato chip, you know.
Yeah.
So if you're eating lots of fast food, you're going to get not only you're not going to get a lot of nutrition, but you're going to get inflammatory compounds.
Right.
You're going to get less of that if you eat non-organic produce.
They need to take the S out of fast food.
Right. Yes. Food that makes you large. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So probiotic drinks. There's so many of them now. Now, kombucha, you can get kombucha at the supermarket now. Not only can you get it in the supermarket, but you know how there's end caps at the checkout of supermarkets where
mm-hmm.
there's coolers where you can buy a drink and they're hoping you're going to buy a drink when you're about to leave.
Right.
Yeah.
So or buy it for your child.
Yeah. And there's kombucha. Mm. They put kombucha in those now.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I saw it at all the supermarkets. So kombucha is one of them. So kombucha is fermented tea, and it has a lot of probiotics in it. And the probiotics make compounds that are good for you. They make organic acids like vinegar and glucuronic acid, which are detoxifying and keep you regular, and also some vitamins, some B vitamins. So I also found probiotic drinks that are not necessarily kombucha. So there's beverages that just have probiotic added to them that are there's a category of drink now called New Age drinks. It's so funny. And so these New Age drinks, they're sort of low calorie drinks that are fruit flavored and sweetened, usually with alternative sweeteners. So and that are natural. So they're not chemical sweeteners. But they're like sugar alcohols, like erythritol and stevia. Well, erythritol is a sugar alcohol, and stevia, of course, is just a plant. So you'll get these drinks that are fruit-flavored and sweetened with these alternative sweeteners, and then they may have probiotics added to them as well. And you'll get fermented beverages that are just basically fermented juice, and they're not necessarily tea like kombucha is. You can get those too. So there's so many like just drinks you can get that have probiotic in them. And if you can grab one of those while you're on the road, it's a good idea because those probiotics are going to keep you healthy and make it so that you're less likely to get sick. So that's helpful too. So the other thing is don't think you always have to eat in a restaurant because sometimes you can get takeout from supermarkets. You can get salad. You can go around and to the produce department and pull out produce and just eat things naturally. Or you can get yogurt and make a little dip with the yogurt and dip your vegetables into that. And you can just get you know, maybe a few carrots, some celery. You can get some nut butter and carry that with you. Like, you don't have to be eating at restaurants all the time, and you can find things to eat that are healthier. You can get trail mix, and you can get nuts and seeds. So just some suggestions for some healthier ways to eat. One of the things I like to remind people is, you know, when you're traveling, especially if you're on a plane, you're going to be exposed to more bugs. By bugs, I mean germs that can make you sick. So you want to wash your hands frequently. If you go to the restroom and on the plane, make sure you wash and scrub your hands there. You can carry hand sanitizer with you in your carry-on or your bag, and use that regularly while you're on the plane. It's a good idea to gargle and either use a neti pot or use some kind of a nasal spray to help to clear things out of your respiratory system. I have become such a fan of that xylitol nasal spray. There are good studies on xylitol nasal spray. It's xylitol mixed with saline, so it's xylitol and salt together. Xylitol is a sugar alcohol that breaks down biofilms. It kills the proteins that bacteria make, so it kills proteins. It kills bacteria, it kills viruses, it kills fungi, and if you mix it with saline, with salt, salt kills those things too. So together, they can keep you out of colds and flus and keep things from overgrowing in your nose. And then I think it's also a good idea to take a little vial or a small plastic container that you can easily carry. Mix it half and half xylitol and salt and stir it up or shake it up. Mm. And then take, a pinch of that and put it into a cup of warm water and gargle with it. And if you can remember to gargle with it morning and evening, that's going to help to keep you from getting sick too. So the xylitol nasal spray combined with a salt xylitol gargle can keep you healthy. And if you can carry a little vial of it on the road, that's something you can throw in your toiletry bag, or even in your pocketbook or in your luggage if you have to. And when you're traveling, it's a good idea to rest. That's part of what you're doing when you're traveling, we hope. Because when you travel, sometimes people are traveling for pleasure, which is great. So you have to make sure that you don't overdo it and do too many things. That it is okay not to sightsee every single thing in a destination that you're going. It is okay to lay around. If laying around is not something you do when you're home, it's okay to lay around when you're away. You don't have to go see every tourist attraction wherever you're going. If you're traveling for business, too, see if you can do some things that are fun where you are, and also take advantage. If you're traveling for business, they put you up in a hotel. Enjoy the hotel. You know, go in the pool. They have a hot tub. Definitely use the hot tub. Take a nice bath in the hotel. You're in a place where you don't have to clean, and it's probably neat and straightened because, you know, if you're at home, maybe you're not able to keep your house as neat as you would like, but if you're in a hotel room, it's kind of neat, and you can just relax there. So it's a good idea to take, I am a big fan of laying around.
Yes, you are.
I think laying around is very important, and it is something that I don't get to do as much as I would like to. So I want to remind all of you that getting rest is a great thing, and if you're traveling and you're sightseeing, that you want to get some nice laying around time. And regardless of the kind of traveling you're doing, it's a good idea to get some nature time. So I went down to the beach. I think 3 nights I went down to the beach. So I think I went there on Saturday. Yeah, I went there Saturday night for a little bit. And Sunday night was really fun because that's when they have the drum circle, Venice Beach there. And it was such a nice experience because there's the traditional drum circle that meets there every Sunday night. And there are lots of people drumming. And it was so heartening to see how many people just came to watch the drum circle. People come and they enjoy and they put out their blankets. They have some food. They bring children. There had to be 30, 40, 50 people just sitting and watching the people drum. And then far fewer people went up and danced. There's a group that comes that I think this one woman teaches belly dancing. And she brings a few of her students or co-teachers with her. And they dance with scarves. And I get up there and I do African dance.
I know. I saw the video. Yeah. You sent me a clip. Somebody must have taken that video.
That's right. Well, I was up there. The woman saw me taking a video of the drum circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to sit down, and she asked me if I would like her to take a video of me dancing. I said, yes, that would be lovely. Thank you so much. She offered to do it. I didn't ask her
nice.
To. This the woman sitting there asked if I would like her to do it.
Everybody's very friendly there.
It was lovely. I talked to so many people. There was a nice woman there who shared her blanket with me. And boy, beach stuff has come a long way. I mean, it comes
what
in.
What do you mean by that?
Well, there's just so many things you can get. Remember when you would lie in a beach blanket and it was just a blanket, a knit blanket that you would bring to the beach?
Okay, there's another way.
Yeah, you can now get beach blankets that are technical fabric that dry quickly. This particular beach blanket had pockets in it, so you could put stuff in the pockets, or you could put, so the pockets are triangular to the corners, and you stuff sand in them, and it anchor. Remember how you'd always put sand on the corners of the beach blanket so it wouldn't blow away? Well, this has pockets in it, so you fill the pockets with sand, and it anchors the blanket. And then it's made of a technical fabric so that it dries easily. So, and there's other things. There's like, there's wind curtains, you know, these wind walls that you can get that are made of technical fabric that you just, the temporary walls that you set up to keep you out of the wind if the wind's blowing on you.
So you make your own cabana.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's more of a wall, like a low wall that you put against the wind. So the wind's not blowing on you while you're sitting there. Beach chairs, you can get beach chairs now that have double straps like a backpack, so it's easy to carry the beach chair. It's amazing what they have now. So, but it was just so lovely to see all these people gathering on the beach and enjoying the drum circle. And like you said, everybody was friendly. I met people from all over. I met people from different states, and a lot of the states were in New England.
Yeah, gee, I wonder why.
I met a guy from Pawcatuck. I met people from Massachusetts. I met another woman from Enfield on Venice Beach.
There you go.
It was very funny, so...
Everyone's trying to escape.
Oh, I know.
It's been a long winter.
Yeah, it's been tough because I think this winter,
it's a late winter
has been particularly hard because, yes, it's dragging on, and the weather has been really dramatic. We're on our fourth nor'easter today, and we'll have days where it's nice out, and then it plummets into this intense snowfall. And the snowfalls are stressful because they're happening in the middle of the week. They're disrupting people's lives, you know, it's getting to the point where I heard somebody say on the news, this snow is really pretty at Christmas time. Right now, it's just annoying.
I know.
You know?
And people say that. I've
right.
heard that. Yeah.
I mean, I find that I don't have a problem as much with the snow. I have trouble with it disrupting my life, not being able to work and, you know, not being able to, I mean, I can work, but I don't, like, people cancel. So it disrupts businesses and it's just disruptive that way. I don't mind the rest that I get when I work less, but I do mind the not working and, you know, that kind of disruption. So.
That can be a bit of a disruption.
Yes, it's definitely, there's definitely an economic factor to all of this weather. And that's one of the things that I'm seeing, people really having mood issues around this weather. So I'm trying to find ways to help them to be happier. I want to remind you that if that's going on for you, that you do want to try to exercise. You want to make sure that you're moving. I know that exercise is something that helps me to stay cheery this time of year. And that I really don't have so much trouble with the seasonal affective thing as much as I have issues with the disruption.
Yep.
And I think that's because we get so much exercise. It really does help.
I have an interesting comment. Someone thanked me at the end of Extreme Spin on Sunday because we had an 11-week program.
Right.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Came up and thanked me and said, thank you so much for helping me get through this winter.
Yeah. That's right. It does help you get through this because it's something that's exciting. It's something to look forward to. It's an intense class. It's hard to work out that intensely this time of year, and yet you give everybody an indoor opportunity to do that. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath here on 91.7 FM, WHUS Store, Storz. This is a call and talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch with my co-host, Ron Meniza. We are podcasted, so if you didn't get to listen to this entire show, you can listen to us at another time at whus.org. You can also listen at FranStorchND on both Facebook and Twitter, or at my website, FranStorchND.com. And you can also listen to us on iTunes. We will be back next week with more Radio Naturopath here on WHUS 91.7 FM.